Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be back. Thanks to Pastor Ben to invite me to come back and speak again today. Last time when I was here, I don't know if you remember, I was talking about the purpose. Everything has a purpose. And you remember our life? The purpose of our life is what? Glorify God and enjoy God. Obviously, it's for Christians. If you don't believe God, believe in God, then how can you glorify God or believe in God? So that's where the church comes in. So the church is a place that we lead people to God. And that's the topic I'm going to talk about today. Church has a purpose, is to lead people to God. So the title of my... Do I have the slides on? Oh, here. The title of my message today is Everyone, Everywhere, at All Times. And I don't know if you have seen the movie in the past few months. Hong Kong movie is called Everything, Everywhere, at All at Once. So my title is a mimic of this movie, but they are not related. It has nothing to do with the movie. I did it on purpose just to make sure today when you leave the church, if you forget everything that I have said, at least this movie can help you remember at least the title. The title is Everyone, Everywhere, at All Times. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us together this wonderful day, wonderful morning, to worship and praise you. You are the Almighty God, and we are all sinners, but you have forgiven all of our sins through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus. Please help us live a good witness for your glory. And be with us today from the beginning to the end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it's our church annual mission conference this month. And every year, we hold this conference to promote the awareness of this important ministry, the mission ministry, to pledge our support for the ministry, missionaries and in the institute financially and in prayer, to hear their stories and to honor their work. And in the past few weeks, we have invited some of them to join us online or in person in the prayer meeting or Sunday service. Actually, as a matter of fact, a missionary from Singapore, Pastor Lai, is preaching right now in the Chinese congregation right now. Interestingly, many churches around this area, in the Bay Area, they have all have the annual meeting probably around this time of the year, so we're not alone. So, what is the mission? To answer that question, let's start with the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The good news that Jesus died for our sin and rose again for our salvation. The good news is God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is the good news. Human beings are doomed to go to hell. We are all sinners. We all deserve the hell. But God saved us and spared us from going to hell. That is the good news. The mission is to spread the gospel, the good news, to the non-believers, whoever who doesn't believe in God yet. So why the mission is so important that all the churches are holding the annual conference meeting around this time? Because, simply put, the mission is the reason why church exists. The mission, the evangelism, is the purpose of a church. So why does church exactly exist? If we ask this question, people can give you different answers. For the non-believers, some of them think the church is like a club. Their friends go there, they want to join them too. So this is a place for a social, like a social platform. So it's great to make friends with the similar culture background. And some others may think church is a charity organization. For the people who are in need, they can come here for free, say free meal or free other free services. If you ask the believers, the Christians, people can have all different answers too. Some think The church is a place for fellowship, to enjoy the fellowship with others, to do spiritual activities together, to help each other when we are in need. And for others, they think the church is a place to teach or to learn God's truth and to learn about the spiritual living. And it's a place to train people for different ministries and a place to help the young people to grow into godly adults. And for some others, this is a place to worship and praise, like what we are doing today. It's a place to declare God's glory, God's wonder, God's greatness. So there are different reasons for the church, for people to come to the church. And this is why we come here to worship and praise. That's why we just had the praise team on the stage and then sing the hymns. So those are all good reasons for church to exist. But there is a place that we can do all this better. You know where? Heaven. In heaven, everything is better. If you have been going to a fellowship long enough, you probably have experienced some unpleasant moments because we are all sinners. You ran into somebody that you don't like, or you got some accident or something, because we are all sinners here. But in heaven, we will have perfect fellowship. We, the brothers, sisters in heaven, we love each other dearly without a single bit of selfishness or pride or hatred. In heaven, we have perfect fellowship with God himself. Talking about learning God's truth here on earth, we are all so limited. No matter how hard we try, there's always something we don't understand about God. There's always passages in the Bible that we cannot understand. But in heaven, for anything that we need to know about God will be taught by God himself. So there's no doubt, there's no ambiguity, there's no need for hermeneutics, which means how to explain the Bible. So, and everything there, we just very clear. Nothing like we are on here. And we can know God fully. So if we can do everything, all this, better in heaven, why can't the Lord Jesus just take us all to heaven? Why are we still doing all this here every Sunday? Because there's one thing that we cannot do in heaven. That is mission. That is to spread the gospel. The gospel is for the people who are not believers yet, before they leave the world. If someone dies, the door to heaven is closed. Closed, simple. The salvation won't be available anymore to this person. So we are here is to spread the gospel, is to help other people, others to learn about God, to know God, to trust God, to believe in God. That's the purpose. Once Apostle Paul said, "I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." To be with Christ is better by far. It's far better to be with Christ. But Paul stayed behind, and he understands he stayed behind for the benefit of others. He has to spread the gospel to other people, to lead other people to God. And same applies to the church and all the Christians, every one of us. It's been 3 years for the pandemic. A lot of people died. More than 1 million people died in the United States alone. And we are all well survived, obviously, we are all here. Last Friday, Pastor Lai was preaching at the Friday fellowship, and he said, "We are all alive after the pandemic because we have an unfinished business from God. That is mission. God let us live through the pandemic because He still has the plan for us, for the mission. So, the purpose of the church is mission, is to share the gospel. The purpose of the church, and also for all of us, the Christians, is the mission, is to share the gospel. Why do we want to share the gospel or the good news? First of all, if we think about something that is good, we naturally want to share with others. It's just the human nature. If you find you just look at the Yahoo or the Google reviews, if you find a really great restaurant or a boba shop, you probably want to shout to the world, wow, this one is really great, you should try it. So the good news of salvation is way more precious than a good restaurant or a boba tea. So we definitely want to share with others if you know how good the salvation is. There was a young man, he's been to a church for a while, and he strongly believed the faith is between himself and God. It's personal. It doesn't have to need to be shared with anybody else. So one day, he accepted Jesus at his church, and he was happy, but he didn't tell anybody because, you know, it's personal. He didn't tell anybody. So he went home, full of joy, happy, but he didn't tell his family either. But he was so happy, and he couldn't help just telling his mother. He said, Mom, you know what? I have been always right. If you believe in Jesus, you don't have to tell anybody. I accepted Jesus tonight, and I didn't have to tell anybody. You got that? If you truly accept Jesus, if you truly believe in God, the joy, the happiness, you cannot help by sharing with others. Gospel is such a great news that we cannot really hold to ourselves. Not only naturally we want to share the good things, the good news with others, but also sharing gospel is also a command from our Lord. As Jesus was getting ready to ascend to the heaven, and he gathered his disciples and told them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is what's known as the Great Commission. Great Commission, a command from Jesus that Christians should go and share the gospel with the world. However, many Christians, if not most, don't think the mission has anything with them. It's not their responsibility. Some don't care about missions at all. They just enjoy the church life. It's good for them, and they feel happy. It is to believe in God, to have the feeling of salvation, but they don't have anything to do with their mission. And some hold great respect for the missionaries, and they want to help financially, but that's all they can do. They don't think they can do anything themselves with the mission. If you ask somebody to go on a mission trip, and then they can always find some excuses. So I'm not qualified. I'm not good at talking to other people. I have a job, I cannot leave home. I have kids to take care of, and I don't have time. There are always excuses. They think God, if they don't go, no problem. God will call others to go on the trip, to finish the job. But if we understand God's Great Commission, and we know the mission is for everyone, it can happen everywhere, and it should happen at all times. Mission is for everyone. It can happen anywhere, and it should happen at all times. So first, mission is for everyone. When we talk about missionaries, we always think the missionaries are super spiritual, super Christians. And the names like Hudson Taylor and Robert Morrison, those names come to our mind right away. It is true. Missionaries like them, they are really super dedicated, super spiritual. But many missionaries are just ordinary people, like us, doing ordinary things in the mission field. They have the same weakness as we do. The missionaries, most missionaries, are not supermen, are not super spiritual. The only difference between them and us is the willingness, lies in the willingness to obey and follow God's command, to go on the mission. The disciples did obey the Lord and went on missions as Jesus commanded. And that was the beginning of the church history. So one may think like the disciples were more spiritual and more stronger in faith than us, or they have some special capability or special power or something. But the Bible says differently. They are everything but special. Those are all just ordinary people. Among the 11 disciples, some of them are fishermen, a very common profession that time in the area of Galilee. And Matthew, we know, a tax collector, a sinner in Jews' eyes. And they were not educated, really. And then they are not at a high social status with great resources. They are very ordinary people. They were not even spiritually stronger. You know, when Jesus was crucified, most of them flew away in fear of their own lives. Peter, the one who said, "I will never disown you," and he did so three times. Even at this moment, right before Jesus ascended to heaven, they were still in doubt. Look at what Matthew, the book of Matthew says. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. At that moment, they're still in doubt. And the book of Mark says even harder. Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. That's the disciples we're talking about. That's the elected 11 disciples. What about the other people? Actually, in the Bible, way before this, when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the last time, he already sent a larger group, 72 of missionaries, 72 of them. And the book of Luke says, "After this, Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go." That's all. The Bible didn't even bother mentioning any names of the 72 people. That sort of tells us those are not special, super spiritual people, not even as strong as the 11 disciples, which we know are not really strong. So the Great Commission was not given to the super Christians. If these doubtful and weak disciples can be entrusted with the Great Commission, then every Christian, like you and me, can be called to be a missionary. We have only to make ourselves available when God called us, just like those disciples. They showed up on the mountain where Jesus asked them to go, and that's it. Moody, one of the most well-known evangelists in American history, he had only 5 years of education. So to our today's standard is elementary school. He was selling shoes for his uncle in Boston before he accepted Jesus. And after his salvation, he started his own shoe business, a businessman in Chicago. While he was in Chicago, he saw the great need for the children over there, and then he felt the calling from God to provide Sunday school for the kids, for the children. So for that purpose, he worked for YMCA as a janitor for free. just to get the opportunity to serve the kids. So we know, we all know, later on, Modi became a famous evangelist. He typically, he frequently drew a crowd of 10 to 20,000 people whenever he preached. So Modi is really a super dedicated spiritual man and a very important evangelist in American history. What about everyday layman Christians? What about you and me? I still remember in Chinese congregation, there was a sister, her name is Xiao Mei, and she didn't seem to be highly educated. She worked as a nanny that time. And during the years she stayed with us, she always invited new friends to Sunday services. I'm really confident, like, she invited more new friends than anyone else during that time. Like friends she met at work or friends she met at the park. She went back to China, and a few years ago, and I haven't heard from her again. Modi and Xiao Mei, there are two extremes on the spectrum. One is really famous, really dedicated, really powerful, and really capable. Xiao Mei is a really ordinary Christian. Modi is remembered by the historian as one of the most effective disciple makers in American history. On the other hand, for Xiao Mei, no historian will ever know anything about her, probably. But I'm very sure both of their names will be in the book of life in heaven. We cannot, not everybody can be Modi, but everyone can be like Xiao Mei, to be a good servant to the Lord. So that's the first point. Mission is not for super Christians. It's for everyone. Our youth group had taken some mission trips in the past. I remember a few years ago, Pastor Ben took a bunch of youth to Yunnan with Auntie Betty. You didn't? Or somebody else? A group of people. They taught English over there, and then they spread the gospel when there was a chance. And also, I know some of you went on a mission trip to Taiwan, the Taiwan Advent, or Advent Taiwan. Now, I'm going to tell you my second point. Mission can happen anywhere, everywhere. You don't have to go on a trip for the missions. Mission doesn't have to be in another country, continent, or another country, or even another city. You don't have to learn a new language. You don't have to stay in the jungle to evangelize. Non-believers are everywhere. It's not that hard. You don't have to go far to find non-believers to share the gospel. You might have heard of the 1040 window. The 1040 window is the rectangle in the black box over there. That's the area between the 10 degree and the 40 degree north latitude. Within that window, you see a lot of countries, familiar countries like China, North Korea, Malaysia, Indonesia, all the Muslim countries, India, all those countries. Within that window, a lot of countries have a lot of unreached people. They never heard of the gospel for different reasons. Some people never heard of the gospel because of their religious background, like the Muslims, like the Buddhists. Some never heard of it because of the government policy, like China, North Korea, their policies. And some never heard of it just because of the extreme poverty, the extreme underdevelopment. Too poor, nobody goes there. They don't have a chance to hear the gospel. Our church has been supporting a lot of missionaries and mission-related institutes, as Pastor Ben just mentioned, 21 of them, and all over the world, some within the 1040 window and other countries. We have missionaries in the Middle East helping the local Muslims to cope with the hardship after decades-long civil wars. We have missionaries working in China under tremendous pressure from the government. We have missionaries in Germany serving the Chinese students and scholars. And we have missionaries in Taiwan serving the elderly veterans. We have missionaries in Thailand planting churches and building orphanages. We have missionaries working in the poorest part of Burma. In that area, some poor area, it takes hours of walking just to reach the village and to talk to villagers. So even for believers in that village, it's a luxury to have a Sunday service or any service. The pastors, they don't have their own pastor in the village. The pastors, the missionaries, just don't have enough resources to go there every Sunday. A lot of efforts, mission efforts, have been spent within the 1040 windows and other foreign countries, which is great. But we shouldn't ignore the non-believers in the United States and in the Bay Area city that we live in. According to a Pew research, I don't know if you can see clearly, but that graph shows the population of people change with time. So the x-axis is the year, and the y-axis is the percentage of people who identify themselves as Christians. So the number in 2020 is 64%. 64% of the American people think they are Christians, not necessarily going to churches every week, but they claim they are Christians. That number was 90% 50 years ago. And if the trend continues by 2070, 50 years from now, that number will go below 50%, which means 150 million people in the United States will not be Christians by that time. 150 million people. The number for Chinese Americans in the Bay Area or for as a whole in the United States will be worse. I haven't found any study on that particular group, but I can give you a rough estimate. There are about 700,000 Chinese Americans in the Bay Area. And we have about 150 churches, Chinese churches, in the Bay Area. Assume each church has 200 members. That's an overestimate. I'm sure a lot of churches are in the, like 30, 50 people. So total would be like 30,000, if you can follow my math, the total will be 30,000 Christians, Chinese Christians in the Bay Area. That's less than 5%. Let's double that number to 10%, because some Chinese Americans don't go to Chinese church. 10%. So we still have 90% of Chinese Americans in the Bay Area who are not believers, are not Christians. 90%. Let that number sink in. The book of Acts recorded another version of the Great Commission. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world, of the earth." The Lord used the location of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world to symbolize like the spreading of the gospel geographically. But it doesn't necessarily mean we do it from near to far. I think it means near and far, everywhere. Mission can happen everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria should be our mission field. So are Menlo Park, Redwood City, East Palo Alto, Forest City, Palo Alto, Mountain View. Those cities can be our mission, should be our mission field as well. Invite your friends to come to our church. That's why our church actually started a new North Branch a few years ago before the pandemic. And the pandemic hit hard. And it definitely had a very negative impact on the growth of the new ministry. But the ministry is healthy and coming back strong. So you can invite your friends to our church or to North Branch or to any church for that matter. And we can share gospel with family, with friends, with co-workers, with cashiers, with gardeners. Our mission field can be our home, or school, or office, or supermarket, or playground, everywhere. With advanced technology, endless mission field on the internet, it's even bigger than the globe itself. And it's at your fingertip, just one click away. Today, you don't even have to leave your home. You can sit on your couch and text your friends and tell them what you think about faith and why you need Jesus. And you can send them the church activity posters, like the coming Friday, the harvest night. Let them know. Ask them to come over and forward them the gospel sermons or the hymns. And I know the youngsters, you guys play games, right? That's what I learned from Joshua. You use a Discord or something called. I just figured Discord, there were like thousands of servers tagged with on Discord, tagged with Christians, Gospels, and Jesus. Can you believe that? Discord can be a platform for evangelism. Mission can happen anywhere, everywhere. And you don't have to go on a trip to evangelize. That's the second point. And third, mission should happen at all times. Our annual mission conference is usually in October. But it doesn't mean that we stop spreading gospel for the rest of the year. If we do value or the salvation more than anything, then it's nature to have the strong desire to spread the gospel anytime there's a chance, anytime there's an opportunity. Opportunities to proclaim gospel can appear at any time. Be prepared. There's no fixed time on our calendar for evangelism. There's a famous quote from St. Francis, "Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary." At all times means 24/7. There's no forbidden hours, days, or months that you cannot or should not share gospel with others. At all times means it's for people of all ages, whether you are a high schooler or you are college students or young professional or middle-aged parents or retirees. If you are willing, you can always find a way of evangelism for your age. At all times also means whether you feel good or bad, whether you are rich or poor, or whether you're healthy or rich or sick. Mission should happen all the time, at all times. Apostle Paul said once in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season." In season and out of season. A season doesn't have to be 3 months. We have 4 seasons a year. But a season sometimes can be merely a fleeting moment. 2 months ago, I was in Singapore. I was waiting in Zhang Yi Airport in Singapore. A young man standing next to me. And he started chatting. We started chatting with each other. And somehow I had the urge to tell him about the gospel, but I was hesitating. I'm like, is this a good moment? So I struggled for a while, and I just finally got ready to speak. And right at the moment, we were called to board the flight. Of course, we didn't sit to each other. I didn't have a chance to talk to him again, and I never saw this the young man again. I probably never see this. Will never see this man again in my life. What if that was the only chance the young man could hear gospel? I regret to this day. I missed the opportunity. In 1987, on October 8th, it was a Sunday, the Great Fire broke in Chicago, if you have heard of that, a big fire. That night, Moody was preaching in his church. At the end of his message, he told his congregation, say, think about the message and think about the relationship between you and God and come back next week and make a decision. And you know what happened? The great fire lasted for 2 days. It killed more than 300 people. Many of the 300 sit in that sermon. And they never had a chance to come back to make a decision. Moody regretted so much that he fell sick. He later said, I have never since dared to give an audience a week to think about their salvation. Preach the gospel at all times, like there's no tomorrow, because nobody knows what happens tonight or tomorrow. I know it's easier said than done. If you are very comfortable talking to others about your faith, your belief, good for you. Thank God. We often don't feel really comfortable to talk to other people, including myself. We always have a lot of concerns, like, will I be rejected if I talk to them? Can I explain clearly? Am I good enough to be a good witness for God? Will I be seen as weak if I tell them I'm religious? Paul said once, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Ashamed of gospel. Have you ever felt that you are ashamed of gospel? I did. It's nature. It's nature for the Christian, for the, especially for the young Christians, including myself in the past. For example, it's pretty hard to pray before the meal in the public, right? In a restaurant. Have you felt that way? I did. Because you think the other people may look down on you, like feels you're weird, you're different from other people. Paul was not ashamed because he knew it was God's power to save everyone who believes. Gospel is not about us. It's not about who we are. It's not about how we live our lives. Gospel is about God and his salvation power. All we can do is to tell others about the gospel, and the salvation is God's power. We do our part, and God will save whoever according to his own plan. A commission is a command, not a suggestion. Jesus didn't suggest the disciple to go out. He commanded. Great commission, a commission is the last command from the Lord on earth. If we fail, obey the Great Commission, you will become our great omission. Let's never forget, mission is for everyone, everywhere, at all times. And we all should be God's faithful missionary in our daily life. Do not turn the Great Commission into great omission. Let me summarize my take-home message today. Mission, first of all, mission, or share the gospel, is the purpose of church, or say one of the main purpose of the church, most important. Mission is for everyone, not for super Christians. Mission can happen everywhere, not always in another country. Mission should happen at all times, not only mission month, not only in this month, all the times. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and then we thank you for the word that you wanted to teach us so that we know how to be your good servant and to be your missionary everywhere we go and whatever we do and at all times. Be with us. Help us when we feel weak, when we feel reluctant, and then give us strength. We really beg you to be to help us to be a good witness in the world. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.